we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship. We want to thank you for tuning in and spending the next half hour with us, whether you're listening at 8:30 of a morning or 5 o'clock of an evening right here on 91.5 FM. Or if you happen to be listening at 10:30 of a morning, that's WWBC, easy for me to say, 1510 AM. And there are also some other frequencies that they have on the FM dial that you can pick up the 10:30 broadcast as it's simulcast throughout the county. If you happen to miss those times of broadcast, you can go to WMIE FM and scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page and click on the Listen on Demand feature. Go to a specific date, whatever date you prefer. And if you pick a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all the way back to 2013, the end of October 2013, you will see Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs that's on there. And you can click on that date and listen to the program right then. You can download it, very, very similar to a podcast format. And if 8:30, 5 o'clock, or 10:30 are not frequent times, you are not out of luck. You can listen whenever you choose. It's also available anywhere in the where the internet is provided through the TuneIn radio app, where you can listen. Now, that broadcast, 8:30 Florida time, and 5 o'clock Florida time, but if you can make that adjustment, you can be listening to it anywhere around the globe. And so we are talking about thou shalt not covet, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, male servant, female servant, ox, donkey, or anything that is your neighbor. What I discovered here in the past few weeks is that if we're not careful, Christians have the capabilities of being every bit as self-centered as what non-Christians are. We like to think that we aren't, but the reality is we can be extremely self-centered and use self as the lens through which we perceive things. And if we do that, then we are going to be susceptible to coveting what belongs to other people. We're going to see ourselves as entitled to it, and that they don't necessarily need it. We will have a lesser view of the relationship we have with our neighbor than God wants us to. I had a CPA that told us at one point in time, said, you know, good fences make good neighbors. And I guess what a fence does is it establishes the boundary between that which belongs to your neighbor and that which belongs to you. Now, the area of the country that I came from, you know, back in the day, people were not isolated, self-isolated, if you will, in their lifestyle. So if you saw your neighbor out at the fence, you know maybe they were out hanging clothes or mowing their lawn or something like that, and you had relationship with your neighbor, and you weren't trying to keep up with them. In fact, you had such good relationships with your neighbor that if you had something that your neighbor needed to borrow, you could loan it to them, knowing that you would get it back. And if they had something that you needed, you didn't both need it at that same point in time. People used things that belong to other people because those other people were willing to offer it. But we live in such a comparative society that our self-worth is oftentimes determined by the possessions that we have, the titles that we have, the labels that we have on our clothing, the places that we frequent. We're always trying to one-up everybody else. And as social media has permeated our society, and people are posting about these vacations that they're going on, and it's like, well, why can't I go on a vacation like that? And these people are all the time going on vacation. And you know what? I don't want to live my life comparing myself to other people. I don't want to have a bad attitude towards my neighbor, either because I've got more than they do or they've got more than I've got. I want to have the attitude towards my neighbor. Do they have Jesus living in their heart? And are they going to heaven? That's really the attitude that I want to have. How can I be a blessing? You know, Abram was told by God, he says, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing. And that blessing was to all the peoples on the earth. Merit Assembly of God, we are to be a blessing, not just a spiritual blessing, but a blessing to our communities as well. And so the only way that you can do that is if you have the right relationship with your neighbor that you are supposed to. Yesterday we were in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 17. I want to take you back a page or two to Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 21, or Exodus chapter 18, and we're going to end up reading verse number 21. But I want to start now by reading in verse number 17. And it says, so Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. For this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they shall or every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace. We talked about you shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's servants, your neighbor's farming tools, anything that belongs to your neighbor. I want to tell you today that you and I are not supposed to covet each other's ministry as well. We're not supposed to covet each other's ministry as well. A year or so ago, I had a conversation with a dear person in my life that had served faithfully at a church for I don't know how many years, and had taken that church from a little bitty country church that really didn't do much. I mean, it wasn't a large community, and had made it a community church where it impacted the poor. It impacted people who were coming out of prison. It impacted people with addiction issues, and it had become a much larger presence in the community than the church had ever historically done. And someone who this person was mentoring came along and decided that he wanted this particular ministry. And before you know it, his coveting for the title of pastor of that church ended up displacing this other pastor. And I will tell you from lots of observation that even a church that is built on the wrong foundation does not have good things in store for it in the future. I tell you that to tell you that later on, Korah, a priest, he and his family had been entrusted with priestly ministry, but he wanted Moses' ministry, and he coveted it, and it led to his own destruction. So that's one side of this coin. The other side of this coin is Moses was wearing himself out, doing all sorts of ministry that God had really created other people in the congregation of Israel to be able to do. And it took Moses' father-in-law to come and say, "You are not operating in a wise manner. I am literally in going to be reinventing myself, because the way that I have pastored for the last 27 years at Merit Assembly of God no longer needs me to be doing some of those things. We have constantly been working on this building project or another building project, and we are just about done with the building projects. And so I'm going to be positioning myself, and what I've been trying to do is get people in ministry places where God can use them to do ministry better than what I could do ministry there. And so God has brought some people into Merit Assembly of God, and they are able to handle projects and free me up to do the things that God has called me to do, to be a person of the Word more than I have been, to be a person of prayer more than I have been, and to be able to teach and to preach. I mean, I for the last 6+ years that I've been doing this radio program, it was another iron in the fire. And so I'm believing that God is going to equip me to be able to do ministry better, because there are other people that are coming along that are positioned for ministry. So what do you look for in a person that God may have to do some of the work? Now, I will tell you that this is what Moses' father-in-law said in verse number 19. "Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people." So that's where I'm really wanting to get to, is I spend more time in the presence of God, more time in the Word of God, and more time with the people, so that I can minister to them more effectively. And he says, so you need some people that you're going to be able to place over thousands. You need people that are going to be able to handle hundreds. You've got people who are going to be able to handle 50s, and you've got people who are going to be able to handle tens. And so this is what you are to look for, okay? "You shall select from all the people able men." Okay, people of ability. I know that a lot of people say that God is looking for he's not looking for the able, he's looking for the available. He is looking for the available, but he's also looking to give you and I abilities that we can excel in the ministry, the jobs that he has given to us, the roles that he has given to us to perform, whether it's at work or at home or at church. He wants you to be very capable because of the abilities that he has trusted to us. He's able men such as fear God, okay? And so if you're going to be ministering for God, you need to have a right relationship with God. It needs to be a relationship of reverence, of awe, of wonder. I don't want to ever have a Jonah type ministry. I would love to see Jonah type results where 120,000 people come to Jesus in a 40-day period of time. But I don't want to have the Jonah mindset that said, I'd rather run away and drown in the sea than preach the gospel to a bunch of people and then see them get saved. I don't want to ever have that. I want to have the attitude that God has that says, I don't want anybody to perish, anybody to experience a separation from eternal life. I want everybody to be saved. So we need to have that relationship with God, and we need to be looking for people who are faithful to God. It also, verse number 21, and it says, men of truth. So we've talked about all of the deceit and everything like that. We need to be looking for people of integrity. If you've got ability, but you don't have a relationship with God, I don't need you. If you've got ability and you got a relationship with God, but you don't have integrity, I don't need you. We need people who don't just have some of the qualifications. We need people who have all of the qualifications. And then it goes this. It says this, hating covetousness. Hating covetousness. I think that the reason that Jethro said that to Moses was because it's pretty easy in our society to see that if you are in a position of influence and power, that if we're not careful, the carnal nature will rise up. And we will use that position to exploit others instead of to bless others. I also find it interesting that and in the New King James Version, this is the first reference to coveting. When it comes to leadership, We are told that these people who are going to be participating and partnering for the advancement of the people of God by ministering, that they've got to be free from covetousness before Moses ever receives the commandment that coveting was not supposed to be, not just in the leadership, but coveting's not supposed to be in any of the people of God. So, If we're going to be as effective as God wants us to be, we've got to realize that we cannot be longing and craving for the things of this world, because when that happens, it's going to compromise the ministry that God has for us. So let me ask you a couple of questions. One is, if you're listening, and it might not just be ministry, you might own your own business and you don't let anybody help you with those things because you don't think that they can do the job as well as you can. I want to encourage you to say, make it a matter of prayer. God, would you help me to realize the value of other people? Moses was a very humble man. I don't think that this was necessarily an egotistical issue in Moses' life, as much as he just found himself the deliverer of the people. And as he continued to operate in that role, he found that the ministry was bigger than Moses and that he needed help. I know a number of people who are so controlling on their jobs that, and this is their testimony, not just my observation. And that was this, if they were so into how they did it that they didn't want to entrust somebody else to do it. I'm of the mindset is like, can you get close? Can you get close? In fact, I believe in leadership that they say if a person can do the job 80% as well as you can, you need to let them do that so that you can focus on something that only you can do. So my wife and I constantly try and work ourselves out of positions. We look to raise up people, and so I don't teach in every service. On Wednesday nights, I'm the emergency backup plan. So I was having a conversation with people, and it's like, you know what? I'm the backup plan to a lot of different people. So if the worship leader is sick or on vacation, you know, I'm the backup worship leader. And there's lots more prayer that goes on that week. God, help my voice. Help me to find the right key. I was told one time by a guy, you sing in the key of R, and there is no key of R. I'm the backup plan there. You know, a couple of weeks ago, my daughter who does our youth ministry got delayed at work, and she's like, I'm not going to be able to make it tonight. And so there was the backup plan, and then there were other people that stepped up. And so I'm just there. If a teacher can't make it, if the youth leader can't make it, if the janitor can't make it, if the yard person can't, I'm there as the backup plan. But they're their ministries because they can do it many times better than I can. Not just as well as I can, but better than I can. Now, The second thing that I want to say has to do with we cannot be coveting someone else's ministry, but we need to come along like Elisha did to Elijah and say, you know what? I'm not going to let anything separate me from you, because one day you're going to be out of the way and I need to know everything that you know, and I need an anointing that you've had, and I need a double portion. I need a relationship with you so that I can lead my generation the way that you've led this generation. A lot of times we get hung up on timing and want to try and speed up the equation and move somebody out of the way. You know, out of all of the kings that were anointed to be king before they became king, David was the only one that did it right. Everybody else, when they were anointed with king, they just rose up. God said, I'm to be king, and bam, they rose up against the king that was in place, killed them, displaced them, and assumed the throne. And many times, that ministry didn't last very long at all. David said, you know what? I'm not going to lift my hand against the Lord's anointed. God is not only God of the anointing, he is God of the timing. And I don't have to covet Saul's throne. God will establish my own throne. So don't covet the ministry. The third thing that I want to say about this today is don't covet your free time so much that you deprive other people of the margin and the balance in their life that God intends for them to have. You say, what are you talking about? There's a very small percentage of people who are active in ministry in churches of every size. Even the church that's having multiple services, you know, sometimes there's churches that have multiple campuses, and yet there's a very small percentage of people that are doing the work. And there are a lot of people that are just sitting there and they are content to let the other people do all of the work. And I want to share this with you in this coveting mindset. And don't think that your time is so valuable that you've got to oppress the other people in the body of Christ who are now having to do what God created you to do. Every person that has been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ was created for this exact point in time. If you're hearing the sound of my voice, God not only chose the time, but He chose this place for you. It never entered the realm of my imagination that I would be ministering in Florida. It never did. I ended up here because of divine order. God called me. I prayed. I said, God, you've got to, if my company is transferring me to Florida, you've got to make a place of ministry for me. And he found a place for me to faithfully serve 3 years. And after I had been there 3 years, the district said, we've got a church that we want you to go and pastor. So it never dawned on me about, you know, coming here. But once I got here, I know this. God has a purpose for every person in the body of Christ that He created before the foundation of the world. I know that you're handsome and I know that you're beautiful, but you are not just meant to sit on the pew and make that pew look better. You've got a purpose. And I know that you're busy. We're all busy. But I will tell you that the satisfaction that comes from fulfilling God's purpose and plan in your life will be well worth the investment. So there's three different facets there of coveting that I want to talk to you about today. Don't covet your ministry so much that you don't let anybody else minister. Don't covet someone else's ministry so much that you move them out of the way so that you can take over. And second, don't covet your own free time and comfort so much that you don't get activated into the ministry that God created for you. It might be one person, it might be 10, it might be 1,000, but you were created for a purpose, and God wants you to fulfill that. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others.
Why is it important to submit to spiritual authority? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
Do you want authority over Satan? Do you want authority in prayer? Do you want to preach or teach with authority? Do you want authority?